Hello and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast for this week. This week we have guest Bernie Kelly, who's talking about knowing when something is no longer serving you as a leader and how that's now critical to organizational success. It's a great conversation and there's some interesting examples in it. And if you've enjoyed some of our other ones, you'll really enjoy this. Enjoy and have a magical week. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast for this week. We've got a great guest on today, and we'll get to them shortly. But first, let's check in with our team and see how they're going. So, Alan, how has your week been this week?
Oh, it's been great, Jess, but a bit cold and rain, which is a bit different up here. But I was comparing, the temperatures, and it's still 24 degrees here, so I won't complain too much.
That's just mean, Alan. You don't need to say it out loud. awesome. Graham, how are you going this week?
Hey, Jess, I'm good. It's been a great week. We arrived in Hobart a little earlier today, did a quick run up the top of Mount Wellington. And when I say run, folks, I literally mean drive, where it was also 24 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah, it was freezing. We got rain. Well, we actually got sleeted on. It was blowing a gale, but it's stunning. Yeah. Just absolutely stunning view from up there. So I'm good.
Nice. Wow. There we go. Al, once again, it's what you've said before is even rubbing it in even more based on the gale force winds the team's experience.
I just love seeing the look on Graham's face.
And Danette, how are you going this week?
Yeah, had another fabulous week, and all of the chickens and the guinea fowls have been free ranging all week and no Mr. Fox chasing them. So they're very, very happy. Bernie, we got some chickens and guinea fowls just before Easter. Yeah, and the fox tried to get them. So we've been able to look after them. So it's been awesome.
Awesome. Well, that's good. And people can follow some of those updates on social media if you want to check out what the chickens are up to. We should set up a live cam almost,
we
you
should.
Know.
Yeah. So
it's the next...
It has been suggested.
Yep. And Bernie, how are you going this week?
Yeah, I've had a good week, a short one with the Anzac Day out, and but clients are in a good, got a lot of clients sort of rolling into 2023, you know, sort of cycles at the moment. So it's been good, a lot of good conversations. And tomorrow, looking forward to catching up with like a long-term family friend from my own children were very young. We haven't seen her for ages, so it's going to be quite good tomorrow.
That's awesome. Great to hear. So we've got a good week ahead as well. That's nice to hear. Now, Bernie, we are so thankful that you've come on the ML podcast. We're so excited to have you on. Do you want to tell people who might be listening to you for the first time a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I am. Right now, my focus is really as a business transformation, like the whole leadership around business transformation. But when I look back on that, I've spent my time in exec roles where that was sort of what it was all about. I ran a business consulting firm in that sort of space over a sort of 10, 15 year period. But it's fascinating with all of that sort of work, just the recurring theme that's come back to the leaders and the leadership teams. Here we're all sort of big computer systems, big sort of partnerships, mergers, all these other strategic sort of things. But it kept coming back to that, and that's why I've sort of done the big cycle back into that sort of real focus over the years. And that is where nearly all my work now is with leaders in evolving themselves and leadership teams building those sort of deeper connections for their work to be able to deal with some of the complexities we've all got on our plates nowadays.
Awesome. So you are an absolutely perfect guest to talk about the topic today and obviously a great person to have on. Now, you sent through the topic idea, which is knowing when something is no longer serving you as a leader is now critical to organizational success. Now, that was a great topic and such an interesting one. I was just wondering, before we even get into the questions, would you like to tell us a little bit about how you came to this topic?
Yeah. I work with a lot of accomplished leaders, and I feel like I've had a decent go of in my own life as well of sort of some things that have worked out well. But it's interesting just how with the environment keeps sort of shifting and having the self-awareness to let go of what worked for me in a different game at a different time, just how useful that is. And I've got my own personal stories of that, but increasingly just finding also, yeah, a lot of people I work with, just the, that is a really recurring theme. And if you think, you know, a lot of people that in the last, even the last 10, 15 years, the things that are so different from when they would have done their early career, and the things that, you know, were the bedrock of why they were successful in maybe the first decade of their career, that are totally not relevant now when you think through social movements, technology movements, all that sort of stuff. So being aware of that is just super useful on the positive, and can end careers and stunt organizations on the negative.
Yeah, and I just thought it was such an interesting concept as well, because it's something that you, like, I didn't really think about how important it is to sometimes let go of things and learn new skills and learn new ways as things are constantly changing. So I loved this choice for topic. I think that a great place to start is with Danette's question. So Danette, I'm going to throw to you. First of all, what was your question? And then tell us a little bit about why you chose it as well.
So my question, Bernie, is what are some of the things that are no longer serving leaders that they tend to hang on to? And it's really to your point about self-awareness. So for some of them, they'll be doing stuff, but not really aware, not that self-aware about the fact that it's no longer serving. So I just thought, given your insights, it'd be really interesting to understand that.
Yeah, I think it's really cool to think, just to the answer to that question is personal for every person, because we've all got our own strengths. We've all got our own specific circumstances, and we've also got our own, that path that we've been on, things that have worked for us in the past. Right. So we're all sort of, so it's good to have some principles around that question rather than a, you know, there's no one answer. And it's interesting reflecting on people, you know, in the last few years, some real recurring themes. I mean, one of the, and I just sort of jotted down some notes here myself, you know, one of the big recurring themes is a lot of people on leadership teams have a real high achiever pattern about us through school, through uni, through early work, the high achiever thing, turning up, driving, striving. And it's been a useful pattern, right? But it has been fascinating to me sort of sitting down beside people in the last few years when there's been more turbulence. The work that I put in doesn't have a direct relationship with the results I get for a lot of different people. That it's a lot of those people that have been on the pattern of that high achiever, relentless high achiever, actually feeling, you know, just quietly, you know, maybe not boasting about it, but just quietly starting to feel a bit unfulfilled. That's not serving them, right? And then also another area where it's not serving those people is that they're attraction and retention of the talent they need is not as easy, right? When they're always driving, when sometimes the results aren't going to click as in the short term. And so there's actually a lot of, a number of highly accomplished leaders I've been sort of in the room with where they've actually gone, you know what, I need to back this off a bit if I'm going to keep this people that I need to grow this organization. So it's been interesting for them that, you know, they're high achiever, totally a major part of their story, but actually sort of not serving them. Another one is actually a lot of people have come up through the ranks being, you know, that sort of phrase of, I'm all over it, I'm in total control. Lots of times where that's not serving it. And a CEO that I've been working with where that really comes to mind at the moment is, like, you know, that real control thing has been a key part of his sort of patter over a long, long time. But really in the growth path that his business is on and the caliber of his execs that he now has reporting into him, it started to actually become just not useful. Like, it wasn't really working. There was a lot of dissatisfaction in his leadership team. They weren't nailing the growth objectives. He's attracted and got a person on board who's a potential successor to his role. We had to actually go, yep, this control, I can just see it. It is not working for you. And so him being able to back off a little bit and be aware of that has actually allowed his future successor to be able to step up. It's allowed the whole team to start thriving and just sort of seeing that pattern. Another one that comes to my mind, and, you know, I'm quite aware of this myself as well, but is actually talking with senior leaders, that assumption that they can still talk with authority about how the operations really work, not serving them anymore, right? Because, like, technology's moved, the social stuff's moved. In the last few years, the whole COVID stuff, there's lots and lots of things that have moved around how the place is working, right? But you can still see a few of my clients where they want to step forward and talk with authority about when they were the, you know, the blah, blah, blah manager. And you go, it's just not serving you. Can you see that everyone's looking at you like, oh, come on, Rob, don't talk about that again. You know, it's an out of date story. And yeah, just so there's a few things like that, Danette.
Great answer, Bernie. And I love those insights. Yeah. And so I'm really interested in the rest of this conversation too. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, love that, Bernie. That was great. And I think these examples are also, it's definitely resonating in my mind of different old bosses that I've had in other jobs. So I definitely am hearing what you're saying.
One in this room, obviously.
Well, on that, let's throw to Alan, actually. Al, what was your question? And tell us a little bit about why you chose it.
Yeah, similar to what the next saying, Bernie, it's around having that awareness because we don't know what we don't know. And my question is, what are some reasons that we may not be aware of the things that are not serving us? Or if we are aware, is there a reason we may continue to hold on to those things?
Yeah, look, I think this is hugely fascinating, right, in this space personally and for others. And it is really fascinating just as humans. Right. Because what one of the conversations is, this is easy to intellectualize and talk about. You know, we could get together and talk about someone over there. That's easy to do. But when you put yourself in the shoes of, you know, with other people, and this is all of us, right? It is fascinating to me to think about how the human mind works, and that default patterns are just so much of what makes us high functioning humans. Right. And default patterns, you know, like a classic example that I think about with that default patterns thing is the drive to work. You can almost do it without even thinking, listen to the radio, talk on the phone, you know, and you get there and, you know, it's all happy. But if you were to actually jump in a plane and we were to fly to New York, get out of the airport there and drive to a suburb in New York we've never been to before, the stress and all the thinking, the cognitive load would just be massive in comparison to my trip to work, right? And I think it's just being aware of the fact that we've got such a strong default mode. We're really typically not aware of what's going on. Mm-hmm. So actually being able to bring some moments of stillness into a busy executive or board chairs or board directors work is actually so useful before they can even sort of start to see some of these things.
And that moment of stillness is what can help us break out of those patterns.
Yeah, well, the moment of stillness means, yeah, that at that moment, that's the gap, isn't it? The gap between the sort of stimulus and the response that we talk about in psychology and neuroscience and things. And really, if we're running on default patterns, it's already happened, right?
It has. Well, thanks for that, Bernie.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating, isn't it?
Mm.
It is.
Yeah, and I feel like it's such a good technique that I think all of us can really take on as well, is just take that, because you're so right. So many things can happen where you're just sort of almost on autopilot and you're not thinking about it. And then, yeah, great. Love that, Bernie. I'm going to throw to Graham now, because I loved this question as well from Graham as a sort of way to look at this topic. So, Graham, what was your question? Why'd you pick it?
I might start with a why, Jess, if that's okay. Bernie, and I guess I've gone with a reason rather than wondering about what are some of the reasons why we hang on to things that don't serve us any longer. One of the other things that came up a second ago, Bernie, when you were talking about high achievers, and yeah, there has been an attitude in business for a long time, probably the last decade at least, about working harder than everybody else.
Yep.
And that's sort of how you become successful. It's just, I keep...
I'll outgrind you type of thing.
I remember reading about a young up-and-coming CEO in Silicon Valley and her motto literally was just, well, I'll work harder than everybody else on planet Earth. And Gary Vaynerchuk comes to mind a lot, and the whole idea of crush it, just crush it, just crush it. I don't know why I do that voice, but it sounds like fun. So My question was more around focusing on one of the reasons why we can sometimes hang on to things that aren't serving us any longer is ego. So I was curious to hear your thoughts on, or your experiences, what strategies have you found really helpful in working with senior leaders and execs, et cetera, when it's clear that ego is coming out a lot in terms of how they hang on to behavior, patterns of thinking that aren't serving them.
I feel a little bit guilty about that. I reckon it's longer than 10 years. I reckon when I grew up as a kid in the country, and I was highly encouraged and probably rewarded by pats on the back for being a hard worker and, getting out there and, doing lots of work on the school holidays and all that sort of stuff. And it is interesting how that hard worker tag in label in my identity or label in my ego was actually definitely something I do recall just carrying that through and being something that was proud of, right? Identity piece. But it is interesting, as you're sort of pointing out there, Graham, right? Just being a hard worker doesn't make you a good leader, right? Like you're actually, I can default to the hard work option, and it may not be the smart option. May not be the wise option. So a lot, it's been interesting for me. A lot of my own awareness journey is actually opening up the different capacities. There's always going to be a physical element to getting stuff done, right? But there's also the intellectual element, the cognitive capacities. There's also the emotional capacities. And, like being a hard worker can be a good place to go when you don't want to actually own emotions. I don't know about you, but maybe I'll admit that I've probably noticed that. And then there's also...
I'm not allowed to comment because somebody's...
Someone might hold you
accountable. I've never done it either.
there's just all that sort of stuff as well, isn't there? Just how we can
put ourselves in. I was going to say that the point you made earlier about in response to Al's question about helping people make time to sort of pause and reflect, that's where the awareness piece becomes so important. But if they're just in crush it mode all of the time, then it's just keep going.
So in the work that I do with leaders in groups and in one-on-one, actually bringing that the awareness so they see, like you and I can lecture them about how this, this obsessive work thing's not useful. It's only when they see it that they're going to pick it up. But back to your point about the ego, because I think it's a really deep insight you got there. And it's interesting with ego is, again, part of human nature. All got it, that's all cool, and it's sort of useful, right? There's lots of times where it's useful to have some identity that we're getting value out of, and it drives us and motivates us. But the part is, if you it is interesting, the identity connection, and this is where I think we sort of can go a lot deeper in this work. So have you heard of the immunity to change by Keegan and Lay, their research?
No.
Maybe James Clear in the Atomic Habits research. So some of those players, there's a real niche field of research around the fact that all of us organizations, but even as individuals. And so it's interesting as a transformation person, you've got to be able to get, not just the obvious stuff and celebrate that, not just the a little bit harder stuff, which is intellectually pulling apart a problem, but also this deeper ego identity stuff. And actually helping people craft identities that are useful is where you go to with this. Yep. So me being a hardworking sort of young country kid, that sort of stuff, that's useful and it's part of my story, right? But actually, is it useful for what I'm doing today? Maybe, there's parts of it that I think might be, parts of it maybe not. And going through that, what actually is the identity piece? And it's interesting with the have you heard the feed forward phrase?
So
the feedback versus feed forward. Now feedback, we're talking about just picking up, nitpicking things that I could do better, right? And no matter how good you are at giving me feedback, it's always going to grind a bit, and there's that sort of feeling about it. Where with the feed forward, we really are going, well, what really matters to you? What's the identity that is useful to you? And it's interesting pulling up a different, there's the classic life phases, my identity as a 20-year-old versus a 40-year-old, it keeps moving. My identity as a single person versus a parent, through life, we've got there's sort of different things that sort of happen there. And hooking onto that, those different identities is part of this conversation, actually evolving our identity is the ego bit, right? And actually helping people to see where do they want to go and what do they want to be in that phase is actually the questions that start to open that up. And it is interesting, I think, it's really interesting because, again, those people who go off and research this sort of stuff, so it's actually really small single-digit numbers of people who can self-transform, they say. I challenge that, and I think it's totally not useful in this current world, right? But then, because the flip side of that is actually, if we were actually running a workshop and catching up with some different people here, and go like, you know, hey, who's self-transformed? People, well, that's a bit lofty language, and none of us might want to put our hand up. But then you go, who can actually remember being a school kid and a uni kid? Who can remember being a young person in the workplace?
Yep.
Each time you're actually a different swagger, you had a whole different identity going, right? Who can remember when they got their first sort of big job, big leadership job? Bang, again, a different identity. So actually, when you stop and think about it, we've been evolving our identity all the time and actually sort of connect and giving people some confidence that we can keep evolving our identity is the ego part, right? That actually I got a new label to hook myself onto a bit. Rather than, and I know we could get way more spiritual and go, you know, try and go egoless and all that sort of stuff. But I think for most of us in, you know, in everyday world that, you know, that is that evolving of that is probably the more useful, easier access to get to.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. Thanks. I love the idea of designing your identity. Yeah. Nice. It's also very powerful because it implies that we have the capacity to do that, as you were saying, because we do it anyway. We do it anyway.
Yeah, and it's really interesting just adding some intention to that. So, you know, different people, a lot of people I work with might be like around that sort of 40-year-old, and they go, well, like, hey, you know, how are you going to be this leader that you want to be, but also be the parent that you want to be and all those sort of things? And we do have pictures of that. So you sort of start to, they craft that picture and go, oh, that's really, I'm not being congruent with that. You go, well, that's interesting. What could we do now to change that? Or you catch up with people and they go, I'm 10 years out from now, I might be a grandparent and I won't be this sort of jet-setting CEO anymore. And you go, okay, well, what does that look like? And, you know, again, just them sort of thinking ahead and a little bit of a ramp up to that space rather than that ego shock when, you know, that actually is a key driver for me, I guess, the part of that I think it's so possible to ramp rather than you see people who just get disrupted personally because they didn't adjust. And yeah, so it's fascinating stuff.
It is. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Bernie, I actually have a follow-up question based on what you've been saying because it's been really fascinating. I guess this is sort of a little bit left of field, but it's to do kind of with what we're doing as a leader. If you want to help people to kind of where they want to get to, what you're talking about before, and the feed forwarding kind of, do you have any sort of ideas around guiding people to where they want to go versus discovering their skills and helping them along that path? Do you have any thoughts around that at all?
Clarify for me, what do you mean by their skills? What do you mean by that?
So just like say we've got a team and someone might say someone wants to be like, ideally I want to be, I don't know, I want to travel a lot as part of my work or something. And within your organization, that could be relevant, but also you're starting to notice they have great skills in communication or something like that. As a leader, how do you sort of, I guess, decide what's the best way to kind of guide them forward, help them with their goals, also help them nurture their skills that they clearly have as well?
This is a really good question, right? Because it's true for me individually, it's also true for me as an organization, like the company has the same thing, right? So when you're leading strategy, and this is personal strategy, the question's coming from personal strategy, but it's the same at organizational strategy, knowing what you're actually really good at is a key part of awareness. And one of the fascinating things about what you're really good at is that because you find it so easy, you may not think about it much. So therefore, a part of the input into a strategy build personally or organizationally is knowing what you're really good at, what you do with ease. Actually, you may look over that. So I think that actually this work is really, it's really good to do with others. Like that's why I do what I do, right? Because it's way easier for me to see it in you than you to see it in you. And it would be the same. And humbly, it's the vice versa as well, right? You'd be able to see things that I can't see. So actually doing it with other people is really useful, because you do want to be building off what you have natural talent and ease with. And you also want to be, it is interesting with that aspirational gap, because you can start to actually, I have a model that I sort of talk about, like with success stacking, right, where I talk about the different time perspectives, because I think that you can, lots of people can kill options because they're looking through some time perspectives and not other time perspectives. And it's fascinating what can get done over a decade. Been attributed to a lot of people. One of the people was Bill Gates, about how people tend to underestimate what we can do in 10 years, while we always overestimate what we can do in the one. And I think that, yeah, so helping you sort of see both of those, what you're really good at, and also connect into your dreams, but give yourself some time to build up to it as well.
Yeah, that was great. That's amazing. And such a great insight. So thanks for that, Bertie.
I look forward to checking in and seeing how it all comes together.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's perfect. Now, I think what you were talking about kind of connects a little bit to what John was asking. So I might jump into John's question, which is, how important is it to listen and clarify with others to help you recognize when things are no longer serving you?
Super important. Yep, super important. Totally. It's really interesting, and that goes back to that conversation we're having before. I reckon that listening is one of those topics that you would not find a person who intellectually doesn't acknowledge that listening is good. But I think that if we're all honest with ourselves, there's this massive knowing, you know, or saying we know and doing. There's a massive gap. And that actually is the humbling part of that question. So the answer is absolute to John's question. Absolutely, I reckon. But there is just that gap, and that goes back to what we were talking about before, that I can have the intention of being a good listener, yet be on default patterns. And, you know, anyone who's been in a long-term relationship or married for a long time, they've got a partner who will point this out for them. And, you know, there's lots of things that, that gap, we can know about listening. Practicing is hard, right? And that goes back to all of that. Do I take the time to get out of my own default patterns? Do I really, really listen? All that stuff.
Yeah, great. And I love that. The other thing I'm loving, Bernie, is you're tying all of these things in together with all the answers. It's like, it's great. I feel like I'm taking a lot away from it. All right, I'm going to jump into the final question here, which is from me, which is, what is the best way to trial different ideas in order to get rid of the things that are no longer serving? So say I'm starting to realize things aren't working out how I want them to work out, and I'm realizing it may be me. What's a good way to start trialing some other options?
Yeah, cool. So I mentioned James Clear and Atomic Habits before. He is totally nerded out on this question. Like, he's written a book that thick on it, right? So if you ever really want to deeply go into it, he's got a whole heap of stuff in that. I like to play in those time perspectives, and I think I'm going to have two answers to this question. One is, I think that the trying to find the smallest feedback loop you possibly can is really super useful. And thinking about, like, from an atomic habits point of view, like, if you were to say to me you wanted to sort of take up running, like some atomic habits or some sort of really simple loops that would sort of give you the feedback loop is actually, well, have you prepared, like, what day are you going to go running? Have you got the gear to go running? Have you got a buddy that goes running with you that you've told about? And those little tiny threshold things actually set up a pattern, which is more likely that you'll become a regular runner. So, and I like those because they're sort of super low threshold. And if you and I were chatting, we could even check on this in the next week, right? Because you go, well, You go, oh, I don't have any runners that are useful at the moment. We'll go, well, you know, tell me if you've got them on, you know, over the weekend, if you got them or not. Bang, that's a feedback loop. You didn't even go get the runners. What's that about? Right. And then the other loop that I think is really useful is the 100-day, like, or the quarter. So a lot of people I work with, we talk about what must happen this quarter to get on that path, that trajectory path. And then at the end of that quarter, how do we go? And it typically falls into three different camps. One is they've been so busy, they didn't realize it, but we're celebrating their amazing progress. The second one is that we underestimated how complex this topic was, right? And we actually need to chunk it down a bit more. So it needs to go into the next 100 days or whatever as well. The third one is you don't seem to have done much about that at all. And then we go, what is that one about? And that's where that immunity to change that that we were chatting about in Graham's questions becomes really relevant, right? Because you go, well, how come you did nothing? You said that this was important and you've done nothing about it at all. Something's going on there. And that is the one that you definitely need someone to work with you on, because no matter how smart we are, that's the one that we can't see in ourselves, right? There's something going on there.
Awesome. Well, Bernie, such great answers. I feel like I'm definitely going to have to listen back to this one to get all the information out of it, because there was just so much information in it and I loved it. I might grab the final thoughts from the group and then I'll grab some final thoughts from you as well. So I'll start with Alan. Alan, any final thoughts about today's conversation or the topic?
Yes, thank you so much, Bernie. There was so many things I've jotted down here, and I guess my standout is that feed forward and crafting that useful identity. To me, that really stood out. And awareness of what we're good at is something that I can implement instantly with my family and point out what my wife and children are really good at.
Absolutely.
Nice. Yeah. Well, that will make for a way better weekend as well. So that's a great motivation. Thanks, Alan. Well done. Love it.
Perfect. Graham, I'll throw to you. What are some takeaways from either the topic or the conversation today?
Bernie, yeah, thanks. Brilliant conversation. And clearly, yeah, we could spend a week talking about some of this stuff. It is fascinating. It's also really important. I love that conscious, intentional design your identity thing. And the phrase that you used around that word, immunity to change. Sorry, it's been a long week. It's Friday, people. It's Friday. Immunity to change. It again, is a really fascinating topic. And that idea of, you know, the gap between our espoused values, what we say is important, our lived values in terms of what we actually do. Yeah, some great stuff there. Thank you. It's been really good.
Yeah, love that. Thanks, Graham. Danette, I'll throw to you. Any final thoughts on today's conversation and the topic as well?
I love the whole conversation. It was awesome. I love that thing about that awareness that we run so many habits, we're completely not aware. And so using that space, the silence, to be able to go, actually, what's going on right now? Is this where I should be? Is this my, you know, am I aligning with my intentions, etc.? Super important, because that you could set something on your phone, for argument's sake, and that could happen a couple of times during the day just to check in and come back. Where am I actually at? So I love that. Thank you. Great conversation. We're definitely getting you back again, Bernie, by the way.
That'd be fun.
You're going to come back again.
Oh, very good. Very good.
I just noticed how that was phrased as a question.
Not at all. It's been such a great conversation.
I heard the statement, Graham.
Yes. Yeah. You were listening quite well then.
Yeah, and I have to disagree. I agree with everything that everyone said, and I definitely am taking away also how important listening is as a part of this. And, you know, what you're talking about, the gap between the sort of knowledge and listening and how crucial that is, that's a key takeaway for me. Bernie, any final thoughts on the conversation today and the topic as well?
Well, firstly, thank you very much for, yeah, lively conversation. Really, really appreciate that. And I do think, you know, the work that you guys are doing is special work that we're all sort of trying to do, actually lifting ourselves up. When you look at all the things that are going on in the world, it is easy to get dragged into, you know, just the chatter and the negativity and the and some of that sort of passive and not necessarily, you know, not even trying to not being intentional and following it, just actually sort of tracking along at an unconscious. There's a lot of drag to that. So I think conversations like what you're doing here with this podcast and sort of getting leadership and development conversations is just a wonderful thing. So yeah, really respect it. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Bernie. And before we let you go, if people have listened to this conversation, I've gone, you know what, I want to connect with Bernie. Where's the best place for them to find you?
So the best place is probably on LinkedIn for me. Bernie Kelly, I do write Bernie Kelly Transformation Partner. So there's a few other Bernie Kellys. It's one of those Irish names in the globe. But Bernie Kelly Transformation Partner on LinkedIn, and definitely welcome connection with people that are, you know, on this journey like myself and others. So yeah, that's probably the easiest way. And on there, I also have gone out of my way to share a lot of articles. I find that a lot of people you can have detailed courses and write big books and stuff like that, but most of us just love like little digestible chunks. So I've got like a whole big library of articles that people can access a lot of these insights in.
Awesome. Well, they'll all be linked in the show notes now. So if you can click on the description, you can go find Bernie on LinkedIn and I'll link the articles as well there. Bernie, I want to thank you so much for being on. It's been a great chat to Al and Danette and Graham. Thank you as well. Great questions, great conversation. And as always, everybody, have a magical week.